Again, we will begin the Warren County Radio Bible School with a Bible question. So get ready and think. Do you know your Bible? And most of you ought to know this one. Jesus was at the cross. He was hanging on the cross. And he looked down and his mother was there. And he entrusted his mother to the care of one of his apostles. What is the name of that apostle, or which apostle was that? And the name is actually not given, but I'm going to show you how we know which one of those it was. Now, we'll read that in just a moment. The Warren County Radio Bible School is brought to you by the Church of Christ at Rock Cliff. Our meeting house is located between McMinnville and Biola at the foot of Ben Lomond, just across from Mount Zion Road. We have Sunday Bible study at 9 a.m., followed by worship at 10 a.m., Sunday evening worship at 6 p.m., and Wednesday evening Bible study at 7 p.m. All are welcome to all of our assemblies. I am Bill Boyd, the preacher at Rock Cliff, and the superintendent of this radio Bible school. Now, we're going to look at the text, and we're going to answer the question. Which of the apostles did Jesus give his mother, entrust the care of his mother to? And so here's what it says. It's in John chapter 19 and verse 26 and 27. It says, when Jesus therefore saw his mother and the disciple standing by whom he loved, he said unto his mother, woman, behold thy son. Then said he to the disciple, behold thy mother. And from that hour the disciple took him into his own home. Now, that disciple, he's only identified here as the disciple whom Jesus loved. But we know which disciple that was. You see, John writes the book of John, but he never uses his name in the entire book. Now, it's significant, and we're confident it's John. If it was not John that wrote the book of John, then we don't read anything about John in the entire book. Can you imagine someone writing a story about Jesus and his apostles, writing an account of that, and those three apostles, Peter, James, and John, that meant so much to him, and talking about Peter, and talking about James, and talking about others of the apostles, and never saying anything about John. John is somewhere in this book. Well, John is the one that wrote it, and he doesn't refer to himself by name out of modesty. Now, he refers to John the Baptist, but not to himself. But he was that disciple whom Jesus loved. And so the name of that disciple, the answer to the question is, it was the Apostle John. Let me turn to Elam's notes about this. This is for a Sunday school lesson he wrote for March 21st, 1926. It says, when Jesus therefore saw his mother and disciple, John, standing by whom he loved, he said to her, woman, behold thy son, and unto John, behold thy mother. And from that hour the disciple took her into his own home. John understood what Jesus meant. It was true, brave, and devoted, and tenderly care for Mary as a son in his own home. On the cross, Jesus, thoughtful of his own mother, and providing for her future comfort, impresses upon all children the duty to honor their parents. Luke 23:44 and 45 says, and it was about the sixth hour, and darkness came over the whole land until the ninth hour, the sun's light falling, and the veil of the temple was rent in the midst. From 12 o'clock to 3 o'clock, supernatural darkness spread over the land, Matthew 27:45, silencing raging human passion and expressing the horror with which God looked upon the enormity of the crime. What occurred during these hours is not recorded, but at the ninth hour, Jesus cried with a loud voice, Eloi, Eloi, lama sabachthani, which is being interpreted, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Jesus could bear the betrayal of Judas, the denial of Peter, the desertion of the apostles, and the wickedness of the Jews. But why should God forsake him? Some thought Jesus had called for Elijah, Mark 15:36-37. And now we read in John chapter 19, verses 28-30. And after Jesus, knowing that all things are now finished, that the scriptures might be accomplished, said, I thirst. There was set there a vessel full of vinegar. So they put a sponge full of the vinegar upon hyssop and brought it to his mouth. When Jesus therefore had received the vinegar, he said, It is finished. And he bowed his head and gave up his spirit. It is finished. After this, Jesus, knowing that all things were now finished in the scripture, like Psalms 69 and verse 21 might be accomplished, he said, I thirst. There was a vessel full of vinegar. So they put a sponge full of vinegar upon hyssop and brought it to his mouth. This was a sour wine and was offered as refreshment. Jesus had received this drink. He said, It is finished. The work that God sent him into the world to do had been accomplished. Just after this, Jesus uttered the last words on the cross, crying with a loud voice, Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit. And having said this, he gave up the ghost, Luke 23:46, or gave up his spirit. He was dead. The veil of the temple was rent from top to bottom. Not only was the veil of the temple rent, but the earth quaked, and the rocks were rent, and the tombs were open, and many bodies of the saints were raised. And coming forth out of the tombs after his resurrection, they entered into the holy city and appeared unto many. The trembling earth, the quaking rocks, and the darkening sun expressed the sympathy of all nature with the suffering Son of God. All this made a profound impression upon the centurion who had charge of the execution. For he glorified God, saying, Certainly this was a righteous man, Luke 23:47 and Matthew 27:54. Truly, this was the Son of God. Also the soldiers and the multitude were deeply impressed. It was the custom of the Romans to leave the bodies on the cross to die of exhaustion and to putrefy and to fall off piece by piece or to be eaten by beasts and fowls. But this was forbidden by the law of the Jews. For the bodies dying on the cross overnight would be a profanation of the Sabbath. Sometimes the legs of the poor victims were broken to hasten death. Sometimes fire were kindled under them to stifle them with smoke. And sometimes wild beasts were turned upon them, for frequently they lingered several days on the cross before they died. Therefore the Jews asked of Pilate that the legs of these victims might be broken, that death might take place at once, so they could be removed, John 19:31. The soldiers broke the legs of the thieves, but when they came to Jesus, they found him already dead, and did not, in fulfillment of prophecy, break his legs. But in fulfillment of prophecy again, Zechariah 12:10, one of the soldiers pierced his side, out of which flowed blood and water, John 19:32-37. This was proof that he was dead, and so the body was buried. Arimathea was a city of the Jews. Joseph of Arimathea was a secret disciple of Jesus through fear of the Jews, John 19:38, and did not join in the council in condemning Jesus. He was looking for the kingdom of God. He begged the body of Jesus from Pilate, who was convinced by the centurion that Jesus was already dead. Nicodemus, who came to Jesus by night, John 3:1-21, brought 100 weight of myrrh and aloes and assisted Joseph in burying Jesus. They wrapped the body in linen cloths with the spices, as the custom of the Jews was to bury, John 19:40, and laid it in his, that is, in Joseph's own new tomb, which he had hewn out of rock. And he had rolled a great stone to the door of the tomb and departed. Mary Magdalene was there, and the other Mary, sitting over against the sepulchre, Matthew 27:60-61. They beheld where he was laid, Mark 15:47. The tomb was nearby in a garden, and no one had ever been placed in it, John 19:41-42. It was cut out horizontally into the rock, John 23:3-8. And Jesus rose from the dead. We read, let me turn to our text. This is John chapter 19, verses 19 and 20. When therefore it was evening on that day, the first day of the week, and when the doors were shut where the disciples were for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood in the midst and said to them, "Peace be unto you." And when they had seen this, he showed unto them his hands and his side. The disciples therefore were glad when they saw the Lord. Now that's John 20, verses 19 and 20. The first appearance of Jesus after his resurrection was to Mary Magdalene on the morning of the first day of the week after his crucifixion. John 20:1-18 gives the account of Mary's early visit to his tomb, of finding it empty, of running to relate the facts to the disciples, of Peter and John hastening there, of the great surprise at finding it, as Mary had said, and of Jesus' appearance to Mary. Other writers relate that Jesus appeared on the same morning to the other women, later on the same day to Peter, and then to the two disciples on the way to Emmaus. As these verses state, in the evening of the same day he appeared to the apostles, Thomas being absent in the room mentioned, the doors being shut through the fear of the Jews. He said to them, "Peace be unto you." These were gracious words, quieting the disturbed spirits and filling them with joy. This was a repetition of John 14:27, spoken in the night of his betrayal and crucifixion. He gives peace now, not as the world giveth, but the peace of God which passeth all understanding, and which guards the hearts and thoughts in Christ Jesus of all his true disciples. Such abiding peace, sweet peace, which knows no ending, the world cannot give. It cannot come from the pleasures or wealth or honors of the world or anything of the world. And the world cannot take it away. It abides with Christ, faithful followers, through poverty and sickness and afflictions, amidst fiercest enemies, bitterest persecution, imprisonment, and death. Peace. Jesus then showed unto them his hands and his side in order to convince them that indeed he had risen from the dead. Did he rise? Hear it, O ye nations. Hear it, O ye dead. He rose. He rose and burst the bar of death. In his blessed life we see the path, and in his death the price. And in his great ascent, the proof supreme of immortality. Well, that concludes that lesson. I turn the page, and we see a special excerpt here called, "What Think Ye of the Christ?" And so, having studied the quarter, the life of Christ, from the time the Word became flesh and dwelt among us until the crucifixion and resurrection, we're going to turn to this question that he asked his bitter enemies. And we'll have to take that up in our next class period.